The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth of pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Our last stanza of the psalm this morning said, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And in your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's such a hope-filled statement. And I believe today's lessons, the psalm is the one that truly leads us forward to hope. Each of the other scriptures this morning somehow have that ominous tone in them that you heard. And yet, when you truly dig into, a little deeper into this apocalyptic tone that we have this morning, you actually are able to find the generosity of God. Because our collect this morning actually asks us to hear these scriptures, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. In other words, we are to feast on the word this morning, that we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. I thought we would give that a try today. Now, I want you to know that at the 8 o'clock service, we were in the Anderson room, and it was, they don't have a bulletin with the readings in them. So we got out the Bible, and we actually had to find those readings in the Bible. It was amazing. And there they were sitting, reading the lesson that they had chosen from the Bible, in a circle, and I thought, and in fact, I said to them, I should actually take a picture of this so that we can prove that Episcopalians do read their Bibles in church. You, on the other hand, actually have the scripture in your bulletin. And so what I want you to do is if one of those readings kind of spoke to you or caused some curiosity or wonder, I want you to choose that one. I want you to go back into it, and I want you to see if you can actually find that, dig right in there and find the hope, the generosity of God in that reading. It might be a phrase, it might be a whole sentence, but see if you can find that, okay? And I'm going to give you a couple of moments to do that right now. And no choosing the psalm. That's too easy. So, you know, the fear and anxiety are actually one of the hallmarks of a time of transition. We simply can't avoid them, quite frankly, because we're human. But we can choose how we respond to them. So let's share some of the words that you found the generosity of God and some hope in. And just call out those words nice and loud so we can all hear them. And let's start with the book of Daniel. So the prophet Daniel, who chose that reading, and call out those words first. Nice and loud. Shine. Yes, delivered is a great word. We don't think about that. We think about the people, the Hebrew people being delivered. But we are delivered as well. Think about that this week. How am I delivered? That's great. Anybody else? From Daniel. The earth shall awake. The earth shall awake. All right, how about the letter to the Hebrews? What did you find in the letter to the Hebrews that gave you a sense of the generosity and hope of God?
I will remember their sins, the war, and their lawless deeds.
That's right. What great hope that gives for us. Forgiveness. True forgiveness. I love that sentence. I will write them on their minds.
Consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds.
Right. Provoke is such an incredibly powerful word. Provoke. Anybody else? How about the Gospel of Mark? Even Jesus was a little apocalyptic here. No words of hope in the gospel today. Do not be alarmed.
This is just the beginning of the broadcast.
Yes. That last sentence holds the good news. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. That's awesome. God does not use our fears and worries to lead us into our future. God relies on the goodness of our hearts and that brilliant mirror image of God's self embedded in each one of us. And it's multiplied in so many ways that we can barely imagine it because God gathers us together here. We believe in a God that gathers us together for a purpose. So again, I will say, God does not lead us into the future through our fears. And I want to just highlight some of the sentences from the prophet Daniel. You know, the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, is really one of those books that you have to read the whole thing. It's really hard to get the full meaning out of it. But the first half is sort of the more positive, proactive part. And this is towards the end of it, it gets more apocalyptic. But you can't do one without the other because you have to find the generosity in it. And in this little piece that we got, I want to lift up these words. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, and that's all we have here at St. Andrew's is wise people, shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That gives you such an incredibly bright image of God's promise and dream for us. In our gospel today, Jesus actually remembers those words. I believe that he had the words of the prophet in his heart and in his mind. And he's looking for his disciples to shine like those stars, as Jesus is looking to us to shine like those stars as well. Our apocalyptic readings this morning are less about destruction and death and more about preparing for a new beginning. It's about the discernment about the choices we make in these transition times. And we have a lot of work to do together in this next year. It's about building momentum through trust in God, which is where the psalm comes in. That's all about the psalmist, the person who wrote that, speaking, almost imploring the trust that that person has in God. And God has gathered us together and will gather us again and again to do the work of the transition. Today, Jesus is asking his followers to take their eyes off of the buildings and focus on the people. Sometimes we get too focused on our buildings and the structures that keep us enclosed rather than looking at the people out there. And I think he's also pointing back to the widow from last week who gave her 2 coins, everything she had. And also out to the people in the margins, the people who will benefit from all this food that we are giving. The people who need the most, who live on the margins, and they're usually out there. Today, a new kind of justice is being given new birth. Jesus is offering us a way to rise strong and invite others to join us, but for us to join them. There is really no better time to provoke. I love the word that in that gospel, provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. That's the work, the true work of the transition time. You see, the fact is that there is good research out there that says that the church, the wider church as we know it, will cease to exist if we keep doing the same old, same old. Or if we try to go back to the way it used to be. Because that's not the way God works. God means for us to have a new dream, God's dream for us. And we have to figure out what that is. So what would happen if we did something truly earth-shaking? What if we took and read, marked, learned, and feasted on God's word instead of focusing on our limited dreams? We focused on God's dream for us. I don't know what that will be, but I think Jesus will be pretty excited if we do this together as a gathered community. I think the prophet Daniel's vision offers us a new way through our fears and anxiety. Many who are asleep in the dust, the earth will wake, meaning that those who have been sitting back, watching others, sitting passively, God is going to set a little fire under you to reignite your faith in some new way. And for those who are wise, will shine like the brightness of the sky. Wisdom is something that is ever evolving in us. And every generation present here today has their own wisdom and needs to be heard. And all these people are right here, members of this church. We have everybody and everything we need right this minute to do the work God is giving us to do. The fact is that from my first 2.5 weeks here, you all have been rising strong for at least the last 7 years, I would say, and probably before then. And in the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to hear your stories. We're going to start doing some storytelling. to really acknowledge the wisdom and the grace that has already been here from generations past. And we're going to lift that up to give us, to provoke us to listen for what God is calling us to do next. A transition time is a ripe time for opportunities to step more deeply into wholehearted living. And I think, I have been studying and learning from Brené Brown for a lot of, how many people know Brené Brown? Good, a few of you do. She is a social scientist, social researcher, and she has done a whole lot of studies about the, one of her books is called The Gifts of Imperfection, but looking at various human conditions and what we do with them. And what when she looked at shame and perfectionism and some of the other things that we get mired into, she also began to recognize from her research that there were certain things that helped people to rise strong. And so today I want to share with you from one of her earlier books, The 10 Guideposts for Wholehearted Living. And what I want you to do is listen to this list of 10 guideposts, and they go, they're going to ask you to let go of something in order to cultivate something else. That's the way they sort of go, each one. Let go of, cultivate. And you will hear, as I read through these, you will hear how closely they align with our Christian practices and our human weaknesses. And what I want you to do is listen for that one that kind of provokes you, that sort of gets under your skin maybe, or you go, oh yes, I really need to work on that one. And then try using that as your sort of prayer through this coming week. And I've actually copied off this sheet, and it's at the back of the church on a table. You can take all 10 of them and work through them if you'd like. But take one, start with one, just for a week, and see where that leads you. So the first one is letting go of what people think about you and cultivating authenticity. Like the curly hair, I think a lot of you know, I've been straightening my hair for a long time. This is the authentic Susan. This is who God created me to look like. and I have to say that this practice of letting my hair go gray and letting it go curly has truly made me more aware of how much I have stopped worrying what people think of me and getting out of my own, getting out of my way and getting out of God's way. So the first one. So the second one is letting go of perfectionism and cultivating self-compassion. The third one is letting go of numbing and powerlessness and cultivating a resilient spirit. Resiliency is something we need in our culture, and it is something that can be increased and can be learned. There are practices you can do to become more resilient. The next one is letting go of scarcity and fear of the dark and cultivating gratitude and joy. That's what today is all about, is truly cultivating gratitude and joy. And what better way to do it than with this music that just has us all ready to, well, dance in the aisles, maybe. The next one is letting go of the need for certainty and cultivating our own intuition and trusting in God, trusting in faith. The next one is letting go of comparison and instead cultivating creativity. Cultivating creativity. I remember in graduate school saying to a professor, that, or I wrote it in a paper and he called me out on it. He said that creativity could not be increased. It was just something you either had or you didn't have. And I totally disagreed with him. How many people don't think they're very creative? Every single one of us has creative ability. But it's like all the other muscles we have. If you don't use it, it doesn't grow. You're not aware of it. And I would tell you that I believe that we are all more creative than we are actually living into. If you're curious, you're creative. Letting go of, this is one that our whole culture, you can go pass this one out to everybody you see this week. Letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as our self-worth. Letting go of that. And instead, cultivating play and rest. That's Sabbath time. Play and rest. The next one is letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle. This one takes time. This is really hard if you're an anxious person. It's hard work. But instead, if you cultivate calmness and stillness. Now, I know that there used to be, or there still maybe still is, but they've taken a break, a contemplative prayer group here. And we're going to resurrect that. Bring it back, because my feeling is that any church that doesn't have contemplative prayer is in trouble, because that group is not just doing that prayer for themselves, although they're probably doing it for themselves too, but they're also doing it for all of us, so that we all come to that place of calmness and stillness. The ninth one is letting go of self-doubt and those supposed to's. My mother talking back here. Susan, you need to be a good girl. And then the bishop, when he ordained me, said, Susan, you need to get into a little trouble for the gospel. And instead, cultivating meaningful work. Something that brings you joy, even if it's hard to do, even if you need to dig into your courage. And the last one is letting go of being cool and always in control. My kids say that's my mama bear. Mom, just pack away your mama bear here. And instead, what we're going to do is cultivate laughter, song, and dance. If you have not been moving and ready to dance this morning, we need to light a fire under ourselves. This is a place to show that joy, to actually have that feeling inside us and release it into the world. We need to get up and get moving. So I promise, I've chosen to do this interim work for my ministry. I love times of transition. Now, if somebody said to me, do you like change? Harder to say yes to that wholeheartedly. But I do. I've gotten to that place where I'm okay with change. But this transition time, I love. Change is just one moment in time. Boom. He was gone. And now we're in the transition time. And I promise you that the work this congregation will do in this time will have plenty of singing and dancing and laughing in this holy sanctuary. But we're not going to leave it just to the celebration at the end. No, we're going to do it all the way along the way. So, and it would be nice to have them here to play every Sunday, but you know what? We can make a joyful noise unto the Lord with our voices and with our actions. And so I would tell you, get your dancing shoes out, people.